Welcome to episode 16 of the Holly Springs Deep Dive Podcast. Thank you for listening. This week's episode features a conversation I had last week with Holly Springs Fire Chief Leroy Smith and Fire and Safety Educator Joe Horosti. The Holly Springs Fire Department was recently awarded the highest Insurance Services Office rating from the North Carolina Insurance Commissioner and State Fire Marshal. This places our own Holly Springs Fire Department in the top 1% of all fire departments in America and one of only 11 fire departments in North Carolina to achieve the rating. This is a big deal, a huge accomplishment, and it will save Holly Springs businesses a lot on their insurance premiums and will help many homeowners on their premiums as well. These men are funny and nice and caring. We sat down at Firehouse Number 1 for our chat, and Cinder the fire dog was with us. It's so much like a home in that place that another firefighter came in to check on and stir some chili he made, not realizing we were recording. It was kind of funny. There was also some talk about the recent Battle of the Badges chili cook-off. The department did not win. Just so you know, it might or might not be a sore subject. First, let's hear from one of this episode's sponsors, Baribos, run by one of my fellow Launch Holly Springs Cohort 2 graduates, Stephanie Cabe. Baribos is owned by my friend Stephanie Cabe and has been in business for almost 10 years. They're known for their hair bows of all sizes, which are hand-sewn for durability, heat-sealed to prevent fraying, and lined with a no-slip grip that keeps the bow where you put it, even in baby-fine hair. Baribos also specializes in custom birthday outfits for your little prince or princess. The little girl's outfits come with a very full matching tutu that is adjustable at the waist. Whatever your theme, Stephanie can make a one-of-a-kind outfit. In addition to bows and birthday outfits, Baribos offers custom-made t-shirts with logos, pictures, monogramming, or sports themes. There's practically no limit to the gifting options available for new and expecting parents. Baribos offers monogrammed bib and burp cloth sets, monogrammed diaper covers, and personalized baby nightgown and cap sets that would be adorable coming-home outfits. Baribos has a store located in the Education Building at the Raleigh Market, located at the State Fairgrounds, which is open every Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 5, and they can be found on Facebook and Etsy as well. There are tons of photos of other items to inspire your own creative ideas. Mention this podcast and you'll receive 20% off your total order. I am here at Fire Station Number 1 with Chief Leroy Smith and Joe Horosti of the Holly Springs Fire Department. Thank you for hanging out with me for a few minutes today.
Sure.
Chief Smith, the fire department got a new honor. They earned a pretty cool designation. What can you tell us about that, please?
So the fire department has been designated as a Class 1 ISO department, and it's done by the North Carolina State Fire Marshal's office. It's basically, for better words, an inspection where they come out and they determine our preparedness to handle fire emergencies. It goes a little bit beyond the fire department, where the town's infrastructure, the water supply system, and different things are also evaluated. We put a lot of work into preparing for this inspection over the last 7 years. Actually, the last 3 or 4 years, it kept, we're coming, we're going to be here, and finally came to fruition. So we had them come out, and I was very, very pleased that we got designated the highest class designation, which is a 1. There's only 11 in the state of North Carolina that have achieved that high designation, and now we're one of them.
So what did you have to do to get that? What sorts of awesome things did they have to
do? I'm not
to
sure how
here?
Long this podcast goes.
It can be as long as you want.
So what they look at in a nutshell is they'll come in and they'll look at fire hydrants are a big thing. They'll look at the ability for us to flow a certain amount of water to handle an emergency in a building. So they'll take the 5 largest buildings in the town and they'll calculate a fire flow, what it would take for us to handle that emergency. Then they'll see that the water supply system will supply that water in and around that building, but then they'll also look at our ability to practically demonstrate that flow. Mm-hmm. So not to be with the 1 designation, we also got a 3 designation for what we call the rural area, which is area outside of the town that does not have fire hydrants. So that's a different challenge for us. We were rated a 9 out in the rural area, and we went to a 3, which is an extremely, sign of our ability to handle an emergency without fire hydrants, a structure fire. And we flowed water, actually used Ting Park, and we shuttled water from a static water source and flowed water. And they stopped us at 850 gallons a minute, which is really good. We could have kept going, but the guys were phenomenal. They worked hard practicing for this, and it showed the day of the inspection.
Yeah, they you said that they were training out there when I got here today, so mm-hmm. It seems like everybody's always working on something.
Well, and when the ISO and state fire marshals come in, not only do they look at our abilities, they also inspect our equipment, our apparatus. They'll look at our staffing levels. There's a whole plethora of stuff that they look through. And then at the end of the thing, our community engagement portion of gives us extra points. Mm-hmm. So in reviewing the paperwork, and I haven't got that deep into it because it's a pretty large packet of information, there are some areas that I see where we could easily improve to make mm-hmm. our score a little bit better. So it's like a scale, like you're getting graded in high school. It's a scale of 1 to 100, and we scored in the like 95, 96 percentile. So we can go higher mm-hmm. than 100 with extra points, which is where the life safety education stuff comes in. So we did very well in all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. So what other things can you think of to do? Because we'll touch on the things that you already do a little bit later in the podcast.
There's some areas. So the biggest thing for us, the biggest challenge going forward is maintaining our level of service and our ability to handle emergencies. But also as the town grows and our footprint gets bigger, we have to maintain our response times, we have to maintain our staffing. So there's going to have to be an investment both in infrastructure, fire stations and apparatus and personnel over the next 10 years to maintain that. The payoff at the end of that is really for businesses, the insurance savings is going to be dramatic, going from a 4 to a 1. A business could see 30 to 35% savings on their wow. business insurance, and that could be, depending on the size of the business, could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Residents will see minimal savings, and I say minimal, I mean probably if you go from a 4 to a 9, depending on your insurance company, the ones that I've talked to, you may see $100-$150 a year savings, but every little bit helps.
It sure does. Yeah. I mean, that's not nothing.
Right.
For sure.
Another big part of it, you saw these guys out here training when mm-hmm. you got here. That's a huge part of their inspection as well, as they look at our training records, and we have to maintain a minimum number of hours for each one of our people each year to make sure that they're being trained and maintaining that level of training so we can provide that service as we go forward.
And I guess I would add too that just so the people that are listening to this understand that we are working on a long-range facilities plan and a staffing plan with town management to probably build at least 2, maybe 3 firehouses in the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. As the town is growing out, we need to make sure that we have engine companies out there in order to get our response time, keep our response times the way they are. So we're making some slight tweaks to apparatus and personnel based on the results of that report. But everything, I was a pleasant surprise when we got that one.
So what's your average response time now?
Well, we don't do averages mm-hmm. Because in an average, you're 50% good, you're 50% bad. And in our line of work, being 50% bad is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. So we do what we call the 90th percentile.
Okay.
So we try to get to every emergency within the town or outside the town in that not 90% of those within 8.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So right now we're pushing about 86%. So we're not quite where we want to be. We have some work to do. Some of that is administrative on our end, where we have outlier calls that cause a little bit of flux in it. So for instance, if you pulled up on our front ramp and we're having a medical emergency, obviously our response time would be really good there. But if there's a storm and there's a tree down that we put a call on hold because it's not a life-threatening call, mm-hmm. our response time will be long. So we're still working on tweaking our record keeping to where we can pull those outliers out and get a better picture. But 86% of 90% of our calls is where we're at now, so it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So we're at Fire Station 1, and that is across from the Holly Ridge Schools.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And number 2 is over near Holly Grove Schools.
Correct.
Is that right?
1140
yes.
Avent Ferry Road.
Right.
Yep.
near the sheets, which
yes.
I hear about all the time because that's where my kid goes to lunch almost every day. I'm glad that they're somewhere close that they don't have to rush. Anyway, so what component of this rating was contingent on the community stuff that is already done?
So it's a 5% grade, but it's above. So what they'll do is they'll grade us, mm-hmm. and then they'll give us extra points for the community risk reduction. So on Joe's part, I think it was like 3 points mm-hmm. or 3.5 points that we got. But in there is also our fire inspection program, yes. as well as our pre-fire planning program. So I think out of the 5 points we could get, I think we got 4.6. So we did very well in that area.
Good job.
Thank you.
Well, there is so much more that the fire department does mm-hmm. besides, and I don't want to say just, but besides just putting out fires, just training, just making award-winning chili.
Not this year.
Well, this year. That's okay.
Officer Clark, if you're listening, we're going to get you next year.
It smells really good. I don't know what happened.
You're absolutely right.
You do a ton of stuff.
Well, and you know what? It's not just the stuff that I do that is in addition to the fire suppression. Mm-hmm. All of our people are trained, certified EMTs as well. So they handle everything from a stub toe to delivering babies to a full cardiac arrest. The idea is that based on a person's answers, when they call 911 and they start answering those questions of that 911 operator, if we're dispatched on a medical call, we can get there most of the time in half the time it takes an ambulance to get there.
So Joe, let's just clarify. So a lot of people don't know that we do not do an ambulance transport service here in Holly Springs. Wake County EMS has two transport units and an advanced paramedic, I believe.
Advanced practice paramedic is called,
yes. So we have an advanced practice paramedic at Station 2, what they call a peak flow unit at Station 2. It is only there for 12 hours. Then we have a 24-hour unit here at Station 1. As the call volume has gone up, we have started negotiations with Wake County to try and bring an additional unit here. So people often ask, why do you send a fire truck to a medical mm-hmm. call? Mm-hmm. And Joe just touched on it, because all of our firefighters are trained as EMTs, and some even have a little bit more mm-hmm. training than that, and we can contain or handle a major medical emergency until the paramedics arrive.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're getting places in 8 minutes, I mean, that's got to be major for somebody who's having a major medical issue.
And our response time is broken down. It's 30 minutes to 30 seconds to dispatch mm-hmm. the call. So once 911, you call 911, it's supposed to be dispatched within 30 seconds. That's time that's beyond our control. Right. Then turnout time for a medical call, it's a minute. For a fire call, it's a minute and 30 seconds. So that means the guys, if they're asleep, they have to get up, get dressed, you know, in their gear and get on the truck, and then the rest is travel time. So our travel time right now is about 6.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Wake County EMS has an on-scene time. Their goal is 11 minutes. Now, in reference to a cardiac arrest, as Joe talked about, anything above, you know, 5 minutes, mm-hmm. if we can get there closer, every minute we skin off of that is a better chance for survival. That's why you'll see a fire truck, or maybe sometimes even two fire trucks on a call, mm-hmm. a serious medical call.
That's really, I had no idea that they were so trained in the medical stuff.
Now, in addition, they also handle hazardous materials response, motor vehicle accidents, pretty much anything that's not strictly a police matter, mm-hmm. we're going. Mm-hmm. There are some minor exceptions to that, but they're pretty rare. These folks here with this department are a proud bunch. They're a well-disciplined, highly trained group that they can handle pretty much everything.
Well, they have a lot to be proud of, it sounds like.
Yeah.
We're here. Cinder is taking a nap, or I'm not sure what that is. So I know that Cinder is part of your outreach.
He does. Cinder plays a big, big role. And here lately, we've received calls from the city of Atlanta, the city of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I was on the phone today with a department just outside of Austin, Texas. Had a conversation earlier this week with a department in British Columbia, Canada, all asking about Cinder. They want to do similar programs. He has been just amazing for us. We really initially had no idea just how much of an impact he would have. our goal here, and it does play into the ISO rating, is prevention before response. Mm-hmm. We would much rather that you prevent that fire than, you know, than to have us come out, because it's a bad day. Mm-hmm. And he plays a huge role in that. Chief Smith, when he came in, we did not have anybody assigned full-time to prevention efforts. Worked very hard to get that position in and set, and since that's been in, we've had 3 documented saves from prevention efforts, and there are 2 more that I could probably argue.
So how does Cinder help out?
Well, you know, the first thing that he does, he's been trained to a script, so he does know how to stop, drop, and roll. He does know how to feel the door before you open it. You know, those types of things to help us train small children.
Mm-hmm. And no offense, Joe, but I think that Cinder is way more interesting
than me.
Kids.
Than me?
Yeah.
Absolutely, you're right. You are absolutely right.
You are not nearly as furry. As
and I could not agree with you more. In fact, we will have.
And I say that with love.
No, not a problem. Believe me, I'm very well adjusted. We will have tours that will come to the station, and as I walk out to greet them, the kids invariably will say, "Cinder," and I look at them and say, "Okay, what's my name?"
Oh no!
And it's crickets.
You know, that's sort of the way Cinder came about, because the first year I was here, we set up, I think, at a farmer's market, or it might have been Holly Fest, and we had a booth, and it was like nobody coming by the booth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's got to be a way for us to, you know, maybe we set something on fire, or maybe we do something to get some attention. And then I went to a meeting at Garner Fire Department, and they had a dog that they were attempting to do a prevention program with. And I said, you know, that's a pretty good idea. You know, that's the sincerest form of flattery, is to, you know, snatch someone's idea and then make it better. And fortunately for us, we were able to get Cinder donated. And Joe has, the difference between a successful program, in my opinion, is the fact that Joe keeps Cinder with him 24/7. And I know that Joe's wife will probably throw things at me, but Cinder chewed up eyeglasses, shoes, furniture.
Yes.
So there
was
some of the puppy training stuff, but the fact that Cinder was able to stay with Joe and have his training reinforced by the same person every day is what makes this program successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, he does have, and Chief touched on the other thing that he does. I mentioned, you know, that he does this script for small children. In fact, we visited with a group of kindergartners today. But the bigger thing that he does for us, and I don't think that the general public really understands the scale at which he does this, is when we're at a Holly Fest, when we're at a Kids Appreciation Day, whatever it is, 2 grandparents with no children or grandchildren with them, and the other demographic that I always point out is if you were to take 4 college-age females, it's like you said, they're not coming to see me, right? Neither of those 2 groups are coming to see me.
I feel bad agreeing with this. And I know, like I said,
I'm absolutely well adjusted. I agree with you 100%. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. But what I also understand is that they are coming to see him. Mm-hmm. So it's at that point that I can deliver the message. And people will invariably ask me, well, you know, what's his name? How old is he? What kind of dog is he? He's Cinder. He's 5. He's an Australian Labradoodle. And I leave it at that, because I know that they're going to ask, what does he do? And it's at that point I have them. Mm-hmm. And I tell them what I've told you, but I tell them, listen, it's at this point that I can remind people to test their smoke alarms once a month. That's how often they need to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, like it or not, that person and you and your listeners mm-hmm. just received that message, mm-hmm. non-threatening manner, didn't ask you if you did it, didn't put you on the spot about it, but you received it nonetheless. Why? Because of him.
So does my frequent burning of dinner count as a test?
Only if so, we respond and we don't.
So, yeah, no, okay, does. A little bit of information about that. Your smoke alarm is not a cooking timer.
Yeah.
The other thing is that the federal government, through the National Fire Protection Association, has worked with the manufacturers, and there's a new standard that's scheduled to... I want to say it's being mandated as of January 1st, 2022, mm-hmm. that the smoke alarms must be able to differentiate between the smoke created from cooking bacon, mm-hmm. or actually when UL tested it, they cooked burgers. Mm-hmm. And it must be able to differentiate between that and the particulates caused by, you know, ordinary combustibles.
How come I didn't get invited to that test?
They're not done yet. There's only right now, there's only one manufacturer that has qualified to that standard. And I just found out yesterday that they've released product onto the market. And it's my understanding that it's available at Walmart. I have more research to do to determine how to identify that for the public. And I want to purchase some of those so that I can test them myself. Before I start making any recommendations to the public.
Well, but like invite Chief Smith over, so give him anything that
Well, like I said, this the information that I'm giving you is not even 24 hours old for me at this point. So I got that yesterday, and like I said, just found out that some of them had been released yesterday. My biggest concern is, Joe, when the public asks you the question, how do you phrase it for them so that they can understand it and find it? And that's my biggest concern right now, is finding that terminology. What is the market? What are the manufacturers using to describe that product so that that's something I can tell to the public? Now, you know, the good news for us is it will get rid of those nuisance alarms, as you mentioned. Because we
That's
see,
kind of how I summon people to eat. When they hear that, they know, all right.
You got rid of the triangle, did you?
Yes.
The dinner bell? Well, you know, the thing is, we know that working smoke alarms save lives. They increase your potential of surviving a home fire by as much as 50%. But the key word is working. If you remove the batteries because you're cooking, now you've just eliminated that protection. No,
which
and that's fine. I absolutely understand it.
Sometimes I think my neighbors wish I would, but
I want to interject in something that you said, because I think it's an important point too, is that as Holly Springs is building up and there's a lot of newer homes, people are buying a lot of new furniture, the time to escape from a house has gone from a couple minutes to seconds now, because if you think about the way our homes are being built with lightweight wood construction, and our products in our house are more synthetic components in them, and they burn a lot faster. They make what they call BTUs a lot faster, and they build up smoke a lot faster. So the fire that you may have had in your home 15 years ago is not the same fire that we would have in your home today. And it's important for the technology is evolving so fast in smoke alarms that they stay working. That's why you'll see them in everybody's bedrooms now and down the line, because it's seconds to get out. And there's been many, a story I just read about a fire that started in a house, and the family woke up, and before they made out the front door, the house was almost fully involved. It started from incorrectly disposed of batteries in a trash can.
9 volts?
Yeah, 9 volts.
Wow.
So,
well, that's ironic, because that's what goes in fire and smoke detectors, probably.
So, I mean, and there's just a lot of things that we're learning now as we're evolving from the guys that sit out front and play checkers and to, you know, put more of our application into science and understanding different things that cause fires, and trying to pass along some of these safety tips to our residents and visitors to Holly Springs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And the other thing that I'll mention is a lot of the homes in Holly Springs have either gas appliances or you know, gas logs, fireplaces, or they have attached garages. So important to have a carbon monoxide alarm. There are, I know it may be hard for a lot of people to believe, but there are still people today that do not understand you cannot warm your car up in your garage with the doors closed. You can't do that.
A lot of people would think that's a common sense thing, but if you've never been taught that, you have no means by which to know it.
Do you want to touch on the golf cart issues that we've been seeing?
We have had issues, and I've seen them as well in the past, with people charging golf carts, and it can be with batteries in general inside of a residence, whether that's in a garage or in any other part of the home. It can release gases. In a lot of places, it can release hydrogen into the home at very high concentrations. That's why the Hindenburg burned. Hydrogen is very flammable when mixed with air, and it's not a safe practice to do where there's not good ventilation.
So the way we found out about this is we started running a fair amount of carbon monoxide alarms in subdivisions that have a prominent amount of golf carts.
And in doing some research, we found out that the batteries, when they're charging, do release hydrogen gas. What's interesting is that hydrogen gas will mimic the properties of carbon monoxide and it'll cause the alarm to alert. Mm-hmm. So we were running our carbon monoxide detectors through these houses and we weren't getting any readings because ours are more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. The home one was getting the readings. And then as Joe said, hydrogen can be at higher concentrations, can be explosive, and it's a different mm-hmm. danger. So we recommend if you're going to charge your golf cart in your house to at least leave a window in the garage cracked or the garage door up a little bit just so there's some fresh air flowing in there and it doesn't get the buildup of hydrogen.
Yeah, and the other thing is if you have that situation where you are charging batteries or a golf cart or whatever, we don't recommend that you rely on that carbon monoxide alarm to be your protecting
right
yeah.
agent. Definitely, again, prevention is what we're talking about.
So for carbon monoxide detectors, do you need those just on the ground level of your home, or do you need one in sleeping areas and the ground floor?
The recommendation is one on every level of the home, including okay. the basement. Okay. Now, they do cost money. I absolutely understand that. And from my perspective, I would much rather that someone have one in their home mm-hmm. as opposed to say I'm not going to get any because I can't afford everyone
right.
for every
level.
It's
not an all or nothing thing.
Perhaps. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Because my view is, if the levels are dangerous upstairs, they're at least going to be at an alarm level downstairs, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, and we can argue, you know, vapor densities and that stuff all day long. I'm not a chemist, but from what we have seen in practice, is that that's the case when we arrive to those alarms.
Mm-hmm. So, and just so everybody knows, carbon monoxide is a byproduct of combustion. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we find it around a hydrocarbon burning appliance, a stove, a hot water heater, a furnace that's fed by gas, or a gas fireplace. Mm-hmm. So those are the most common producers of carbon monoxide in a house. And then obviously a car that's been run in a garage mm-hmm. is a big producer as well.
That's one of the saves that we had with somebody that was warming the car up in the garage.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that it worked out.
Us too.
So you take Cinder out for community outreach. You,
yes.
You remind people to test their smoke detectors mm-hmm. every month. When recently I've seen the banners about change your batteries out. Mm-hmm. That's another
should
thing
change
that you
them
do
once
every
a year, either in the spring or the fall, and use that time change to remind you.
Mm-hmm. Unless they have the 10-year detectors.
Unless they have the sealed lithium right. batteries that are designed to last 10 years. We're starting to see them last around 7. We'll see as time goes by if they truly do last to 7 years. But regardless, 7 years of no maintenance is pretty good.
And touch on the carbon monoxide smoke alarm combination.
Oh, yeah. So there are a lot of alarms out there, a lot of different manufacturers, and it can be confusing. Currently, there are two technologies that sense smoke. One is photoelectric, the other is ionization. Ionization is the most common. Most homes have an ionization alarm in them. Which one's best? Actually, it's best to have both technologies. Mm-hmm. So you can buy an alarm that is typically referred to as a dual sensor. And this is what I was referring to earlier, wanting to know what terms we're using now with this new technology. The combination alarms are typically smoke and carbon monoxide, mm-hmm. should be installed per the manufacturer's instructions. If they say to put them on the wall 18 inches up, then that's where you should put them. Mm-hmm. If they say put it on the ceiling, put it on the ceiling. They will sense both smoke and carbon monoxide. One of the things that is standardized today is that the smoke alarm, when active, will issue 3 beeps in slow succession, then there's a second and a half pause, and it repeats. 3 beeps, second and a half pause, and it repeats. The carbon monoxide alarm is standardized to 4 beeps in rapid succession, a second and a half pause, and then that repeats. So you can actually tell just by the sound of the alarm which one it's telling you. Mm-hmm. And that's been standardized through the federal government and passed down to the manufacturers, written into the fire code as well.
Okay.
And that's something that very few people actually know, and that's part of my job is getting that education out there.
Well, I certainly didn't know that. What other things do you do out in the community?
Well, we do have a smoke alarm program. If anybody has any issues with their smoke alarms, we literally will schedule a time to come to their house specifically at their convenience, check their smoke alarms, make sure that everything's working. If they need new batteries, we provide them. If it's appropriate at that point for us to install new alarms, we do that for free. All of that service is free. Now, when I say, is it appropriate? About 76% of the homes in Holly Springs have been built since the year 2000. Mm-hmm. The last major code change with respect to smoke alarms was in June of 99.
Okay.
So having been built after that time frame, they all have alarms on every level of the home, outside every separate sleeping area, and inside every bedroom. They're all wired together. If one goes off, they all go off, and they have a battery backup.
Yes, I know that.
So the alarms that we have that we give away are standalone battery operated. Mm-hmm. So if I replace one of your alarms that communicates throughout the house with one of mine, I would be downgrading your system. So that's not appropriate for us to do at that point.
Right.
House built prior to that, where they're not going to have them in the bedrooms, we just put them up. The homeowner gets all that stuff for free. We obtain those products either through in-kind donations or through grants.
Mm-hmm.
If we have to, we'll purchase alarms just to make sure that we have stuff available for the public. Again, we want to know that they're safe. When we arrive, we want to have them in the front yard there to greet us and tell us that everyone's out of the home.
Yeah.
Now, what else do I do? We also offer CPR and first aid classes to the public, both certification and non-certification. So if someone wanted or needed, say, an American Heart Association certification class for CPR or first aid, we can provide that. We do that at cost. The public has already paid for my salary. There's no reason for them to pay twice.
Mm-hmm.
So what they pay us for are the book, the card, the things we consume during the class, and the things that we give them, which are a pocket mask to take home that's theirs, is brand new, and a keychain barrier device as well to take home with them. So they pay for those items, which comes to $35, mm-hmm. versus a lot of places that will charge you $120 for the same class. The classes are scheduled and one can register for them through Holly Springs Parks and Recreation,
okay.
either online or at any of the Parks and Recreation facilities.
Okay.
Now that's the certification side of it.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants non-certification, they just want the training, we can basically do anything they want and it's absolutely free.
So how would they arrange that?
Contact the fire department, contact us directly or contact me directly. For the fire alarm program or for any of these services, mm-hmm. they can contact our safe line, which is 919-577-SAFE or 7233. That is a recorded line. It comes directly to me, and I'll be the one that calls them back.
Okay.
It's not a question of, you know, somebody in a government agency that you're worried
right.
about them calling you.
Right.
I'm the one that calls them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lady today wanting non-certification. I literally sent her 2 pages worth of syllabus items and said, look, pick what you want. And we can do all of it, we can do none of it, we can do something else. If you want to do disaster preparedness, it really doesn't matter. If we can't teach it, we will find someone who does. And the range to which we've done that for older adults, senior citizens. We have one group that dresses in medieval armor and fights with real swords. They don't care about sprained ankles. They're mm-hmm. worried about, you know, punctures and lacerations and amputations. Yeah. So so every year we hold a class just for them, and it's absolutely free. Because again, if they can help themselves, they don't need us. That keeps us free to handle, you know, whatever other mm-hmm. emergencies are taking place.
Or if something happens, they can like minimize any.
Exactly. Now, you have hit on something, and Chief Smith mentioned this as well, is that, you know, as time goes by, especially in a cardiac arrest, that person's chances of survival decrease.
Or a decapitation.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
We call that injuries inconsistent with life is
yeah,
what we
okay.
call that. But, you know, someone in cardiac arrest, their chances of survival go down as time goes by without CPR. So if we can teach the public, I mean, up to and including a full American Heart Association class, so long as there's not a certification involved, we can do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
they can provide that life-saving skill until we can get there and provide that little bit higher level of care. And as Chief Smith mentioned, you know, that fire truck gets there before the ambulance, so we provide a little bit higher level of care. The ambulance gets there, they're providing advanced life support, and we together as a team will work on this person in their home. Now, it's a common misconception within the county that we will ride to the hospital, you know, at a crazy speed doing compressions in the back of an ambulance. We don't do that. There's nothing that the hospital can do for them that we cannot do in your living room. Mm-hmm. And that's us combined with Wake County EMS and their advanced life support skills. We bring that level of care to your living room. It's truly that level of care. It is an amazing thing to watch in that the level of professionalism and the skill is so high.
So in Holly Springs being rated one of the safest communities to live in, you know, everybody always thinks to law enforcement and being safe, but there's sort of a method to mine and Joe's madness here is Wake County, who does our dispatching, is going to be rolling out a program called Pulse Point in the next few months. And what this program is going to be is if you can get an app on your phone, it's Pulse Point. If there's a call for a cardiac arrest and say you're eating dinner at Buffalo Wild Wings and somebody goes into cardiac arrest at the Olive Garden, it'll tell you that that call's going on. You're 30 seconds away. You can get up from Buffalo Wild Wings, go to Olive Garden, and help start CPR on that person. So it's going to decrease our on-scene time of somebody who has that life-saving skill that can help that person out. What it also is going to do is it's going to show people the locations of defibrillators. Defibrillators are placed throughout the town. We always suggest anybody who has a business have a defibrillator. We get the information through an app and then we add it to this. So it's basically a layer on a map. So when you get a call, you'll be able to see where the defibrillators are as well. So if you're close by, you can go help. And then future-wise, we're looking at doing some CERT training and then probably a Citizen Fire Academy. And I'll touch on those two real briefly. The CERT training would be like if, when the tornado came back in 2011, we had a lot of people that wanted to help, but there was really no way of organizing them. So what we do is we bring a big group of citizens in. We give them some basic training of how they can help us out, and we actually make them part of our incident management team. We'll give them a situation unit leader. So we'll say, hey, you guys go over here to Crossway and give me a report on the conditions on these two streets. And then they'll call back, but they'll have the training if there's a gas leak, how to shut the gas off. They'll know if electrical wires are down or not to touch them. If somebody's trapped, they can report back to us. So that just gives us more resources to utilize in a disaster. And then the Citizen Fire Academy is just for a way for citizens to come in and they'll actually be able to do some training with us and get a feel of what it's like to be a firefighter, and that'll turn out to hopefully be a recruiting tool for us.
Yeah, the CERT, it stands for Community Emergency Response Team, started some time ago in California, LA, if my memory serves me well, and it really can make a difference. It gets the community involved, and that's something at which we're looking currently.
Well, and it also keeps it sort of organized, because what we don't want is citizens to go out during a disaster or something and get them in trouble because that strains our resources even further.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to mention to you, we were talking a lot about CPR, and I don't want to give the impression that in order for the public to learn it from us, that they have to go through this big complex thing. There's the basic steps that you give me a group of five people, and in 30 minutes I can teach them. Yeah,
he's making sure the chili isn't sticking to the bottom of the pan. If I did that more often, my smoke detectors would not go off to alert my family that dinner is ready.
This is Captain Bowen. He's our chili cook.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry that it didn't work out this year.
He didn't cook this year.
Oh.
That might have been part of the reason we didn't win.
That's a shame.
I'm going to say yeah.
Well, I don't want to throw the person who did cook it under the bus. That would be...
That's okay.
That would be rude.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Yeah. Spreading the love.
The love that I put in.
And then making sure it's not scorched on the bottom.
See?
I understand these things. Where were we?
But no, we were talking about the basic CPR, and hands-only CPR is something that can be taught in literally in minutes, and it can make all the difference in saving someone's life in a cardiac arrest. It really can.
Let them...
I would let them know too, if you would like us to come out for a visit, a community group, just a talk where you can ask questions of the firefighters, myself or Joe, set it up through Joe. We'll come out.
Call the safe line. That's the best way to do it.
Make sure to link that in the show notes.
Yeah, again, it's 919-577-SAFE.
You can see we're not shy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk to every age group, literally from preschool to people that are in their 90s. We love doing it. I'm very fortunate to have a boss that loves doing my job as much as I do. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy what I do. And like I said, pretty much any topic, if it revolves around emergencies, if we can't supply it, we'll find someone who will. We'll make sure that the public gets what they need for that.
And that's why we're here.
Tours. Tours. Oh, yes, absolutely. They can also call and request a tour. We get calls for those quite a bit. We'll be glad to have you here if we can schedule it in. Cinder will be here with you.
We got an endless supply of stickers and collar hooks and helmets.
People ask a lot about birthday parties, and we really we don't do the party truly. If you're going to do presents or food, we ask that they do that before or after they come to visit us. Mm-hmm. Let us be the entertainment. Bring the kids. We take them through the whole fire station. We let them crawl all over the trucks. We take individual pictures. We do group photos. Mm-hmm. Cinder's there. He poses on the front of the truck. Of course, we send them away with hats and stickers and tattoos and all kinds of goodies as well. Everybody has a good time with it. And it doesn't matter the size of the group.
It doesn't matter how old you are either.
No, it does not. You know, invariably when the children get through crawling on the truck, I ask the adults who wants to get on there because you know they do.
Oh, and one thing I think we were remiss on talking about was the hearing impaired alarms.
Right. So I did get an update on that yesterday. Historically, we were providing hearing impaired smoke alarms.
And those just
this one actually, it has a light, a low frequency sound, which is easier for someone who's hearing impaired to actually hear. Mm-hmm. But we must also consider that there are some people with cochlear implants that if those implants are out, they cannot hear at all. Mm-hmm. Period. So the alarms actually have a bed shaker as well to help wake them up. Now, at one point, I want to say it was 40% of the alarms that were installed throughout the state came through this department. Mm-hmm. Either we installed ourselves or we had done so much advertising that they were calling us and we were facilitating it through other departments. Far away as High Point and down towards Charlotte, that kind of thing. Obviously, we can't go there. We didn't go there, but we were helping coordinate that to make sure that those citizens got the what they needed. Now, those alarms we received through the state fire marshal's office, they have since run out. And their repeated attempts at grant money to purchase more, mm-hmm. as well as our attempts, mm-hmm. have all failed. So we're trying to get more. The current wait list is sitting at about 65 to 70 people, I think. So there is definitely a need, mm-hmm. but it's the finances to purchase those things that are currently the issue.
So. Is there anything we as citizens can do to help out?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a difficult question. Mm-hmm. I would like to say yes, raise money and give us the money. Mm-hmm. We would certainly spend it appropriately, but it's difficult getting that money directed to exactly where we want it to go. Yeah. Just the function of a municipality and the way the finance works. What I've started asking people to do is, as I tell them, listen, I really appreciate that you want to give us a cash mm-hmm. donation. I really do. We're paid by the taxpayers' dollars. You don't need to do that. However, if you feel you must do something for us, give us a new sealed smoke alarm. Give us a new sealed 9-volt battery. If someone were to take it upon themselves to purchase one of those hearing impaired alarms, number one, I would recommend they call me first so that we can talk about making sure we get the right one. Mm-hmm. But they could certainly do that and do an in-kind donation to us, and we would see at that point that it got to someone in need.
I mean, could they donate like a Lowe's or a Home Depot gift card so you could buy the right thing?
I would steer away from that just because accountability's sake for having a gift card. I mean, not that we wouldn't put it to good use, but I would rather see actually someone call Joe and ask. In the department I worked for before I came here, we would have Home Depot or Lowe's would donate a pallet of smoke alarms because that's, you know, the amount of volume that we were doing in my previous department. So if somebody wanted to purchase smoke alarms, we haven't got to the point where we've needed to solicit businesses for donations yet. But as the town grows and we put more and more smoke alarms in, I'll let Joe can touch on some of the stats of the houses that we found without working alarms and without any alarms when we first started doing our door-to-door canvassing.
So, you know, one of the things, and I think if people looked at what we do as far as smoke alarm installations compared to a lot of other departments, they would say, well, Holly Springs really doesn't do anything. And if you strictly look at the number of installations, you'd be right. That statement would be correct. However, as I mentioned, you know, I think it's 76% of the homes have been built since the year 2000, so these are wired alarms. Mm-hmm. We're not installing an alarm there. We're not installing one of ours there that we get through grant money. Because, again, we'd be downgrading their system. So that resident is purchasing an alarm. We come in and we replace it. We do the installation for them so long as the plugs match, and we do that for free. So in that case, we get credit for, yes, we installed a smoke alarm or however many there were in that home. But if the resident does that themselves, or if they pay an electrician to do it, or their brother, cousin, nephew does it, we don't see that as an install. So where one agency in an older town where all the homes were built in the 60s, they might install 1,000 alarms a year, whereas we're looking at more like 100. Just because, again, only one houses in four are at that age where they can accept the alarms that we get through by the means of a grant.
We installed quite a few when we first started.
Yes, because we started in those areas. The highest risk, that's where we started. We had a huge number of installations. And you mentioned now I will say, since we've said, okay, only one home in four is older, even having said that, you know how many new homes are in Holly Springs, and you know how many of the homes are high-dollar homes. Even if you combine them, we still have a failure rate of about 52%. So 52% of the homes, half the people that are listening to you, have something wrong with their smoke alarms.
Check it, people.
Exactly. That's why I say call that safe line. We come and do that for free.
I want the Holly Springs Fire Department to get the best sleep in the world. I want them not to have to jump out of their bed and run and put out fires around here. So we need to make sure that we check our smoke alarms.
Well, and it's fortunate that I think less than 10% of the calls that we run are actually structure fire related. Most of the calls that we do respond to are EMS in nature, medical calls, vehicle accidents, stuff of that.
Yeah, we are very fortunate.
How long have you worked here, Joe?
I started as a volunteer July of 2001.
Wow.
And started paid in the spring of 2002.
How about you, Chief Smith?
So I'm sitting on 17 years total, 18 years total.
June 4th, 2012.
Yeah, well, you've got a lot more years apart from that, though.
Yeah. Where were you before this?
I was Prince George's County, Maryland. I did 22 years there. Left there, did 2 years as a deputy fire chief at BWI Airport.
You look like you're like 40. How did this
Thank
happen?
Thank you. I don't know.
Okay.
Got guys like Joe and Cinder. Cinder keeps my age down.
Yeah.
Or I look older and make you look younger.
Cinder sure seems to love you.
Yes, so. He does. I spoil him. I'm the bad uncle.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine that. Well, the thing that I'm taking away from this chat is that you guys and the rest of the fire department thoroughly loves Holly Springs. You both care about all of the citizens here, and I feel it, and it's one of the things that makes Holly Springs a great place to be.
We both live here in addition to working here, yeah.
So I appreciate both of you and all of the firefighters here for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for sitting down with me.
Sure.
Our pleasure.
Anytime.
And I'll
when
take some of that chili from
when
you
we're
later.
When
are
we going to do it again?
I don't know. When you have some more news.
Let me know.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Are you tired of rummaging through your pantry searching for the ingredients you need to make dinner? Or annoyed when you find the ingredient only to realize it has expired? How about frustrated when you return from the store to discover you already had 3 of the item buried in the back of your pantry? Having a tidy and organized pantry saves time and money. Professional organizer Daria Harvey from Your Organized Life can transform your pantry from messy to functional. Organized for the way your family lives. See exactly what you have. Make it easy for your whole family to know where to put things away. Save time when making meals. Contact her today at yolwithdaria@gmail.com. That's the letters yolwithdaria@gmail.com. Daria can help you transform your pantry and transform your life. How lucky are we to have the dedicated members of this fire department protecting us? These pros seriously care about our citizens and community and really want to help us stay safe. I learned a lot about them during this discussion, and I hope you did too. Thanks so much for joining me this week, and thanks to my sponsors for their generous support. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by me, Karen Shore, with music by Doug Maxwell and Meteorite Productions. Be sure to like or follow the Holly Springs Deep Dive Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to get information on upcoming episodes, as well as previews and other insider information. And keep sending your episode suggestions to me at hollyspringspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time.